Welcome back, 99.3 Nigeria Info. And as we know, we've had ideas with IOB and GDO Joe open the conversation in public square. We're going to be focusing in the main square today on Workers Day and the apparent exclusion of ordinary workers and middle class professionals from contesting in party primaries and by extension the general elections. We're going to be speaking with Danger Yakub, who is currently the Assistant General Secretary of the Nigeria Labour Congress, and he'll be updating us on a number of things we should know. And after that, the top of the hour, Rotimi Sankore will join the conversation with us, and we'll do a 360 on all of the big issues. Don't forget, you can always engage with us. Rather, Rotimi will be reflecting on the implications for democracy if ordinary workers and middle-class professionals are excluded from contesting elections because of outrageously exorbitant cost. Remember, you can always engage with us on Twitter, social media, at Public Square NG, at Rotimi Sankore, at Aworo Obo, at Nigeria Info. Also on WhatsApp, it's 0809-597-5805. Those are all the platforms you can talk with us on 99.3 Nigeria Info. So this is the table laid before you. Give us a second and we'll be right back. 99.3 Nigeria Info. And we're having difficulty connecting with Danger Yakub, and maybe it's the connection. He'd spoken with him a couple of minutes before we came on, and he was ready to go. But we'll try and connect with him at some point. But Rotimi Sankore, a co-host data expert and journalist, has joined us, co-host Public Square. And Rotimi, great to have the show up and running.
Yeah, thank you, Aho.
Yes, and quite a lot for us to talk about, especially with Workers' Day, which comes up on Sunday.
Yes, Aho. You know, I think a lot of people don't really appreciate the importance of Workers' Day anymore. Let me just summarize that. It may interest those that don't know to know that when workers globally first started the agitation for what is now known as fair working conditions, that is defined hours of working. Nowadays, normally 8 hours, you know, 1 hour break and things like that. A lot of that advocacy was considered to be treasonable, you know. And, not so long ago, workers were even hung for, you know, hung by governments that backed big business corporations. Yeah. When I say not too long ago, you know, I'm talking of, you know, within the last 100 years. Mm. You know, workers were hung, jailed, just for making all these demands that everybody considers as normal now. Mm. You know, that you only work for a limited set of hours, you have 1 hour break, you have toilet facilities, you have sick leave, you have maternity leave, and so forth. All these things were considered treasonable not too long ago. So, you know, it's really important that people recognize the importance of Workers' Day. I mean, essentially, the whole basis of Workers' Day is that people should not be exploited like slaves that don't have human rights. Now, having said that, the working conditions differ from place to place. In some places, it's closer to what it should be. In some cases, it's a bit more far away from what it should be. So that's the significance of Workers' Day. I always hear some people every now and then saying, some trade unions are the problem, that if they are not there, that, you know, business we just flow. Well, having the business, we just flow and you will work for 20 hours. Yeah, you work for 20 hours nonstop and the business will flow. And if you ask for a toilet break, you may get some lashes of the cane.
Yeah.
And if you ask for an increase, you'll be fired immediately and so forth. So, so I mean, that really is the significance of workers. I mean, clearly, the leadership ability or the integrity of a lot of the labor leaders, you know, fluctuates.
This is the point.
For some,
before we get
closer to what it should be.
Yeah,
for some, it is far away from what it should be.
Yeah. Before we delve into the talking points, I'm sure that with the years that you've seen the labor movement, especially in Nigeria, you know, evolve through the military years and what sort of roles they played to the Fourth Republic with Olusegun Obasanjo and the constant ruffle between he and the labor over the price of petrol more often and then the minimum wage, or when I think it was in 2000, early 2000, when they had the mass purge, just like happened in the military era also too. But there's a lot of talk about the face of the Nigerian Labor Congress, that it hasn't really moved with the times in exactly defining what his role should be. Should it be fighting for the dividends of democracy or for minimum wage?
I mean, it should be fighting for both.
Mm.
It should be fighting for both. In terms of strategy and tactics, there is always room for improvement.
Mm.
It is always worthwhile reminding everybody that living standards are not determined by your take-home pay alone.
Right.
You know, there is no developed country where your living standard is developed by just what you are paid. A lot of it is also decided by the social services that are available. I mean, if you look at, let's just take a case of something that is necessary for everybody. Say something like water. You know, if in Nigeria you earn minimum wage of 30,000 and you have to buy pure water 4 or 5 sachets a day, that's about 100 naira. And going by the total fertility rate in Nigeria, which is sort of 4 to 5, average of 4 to 5 children per woman, in reality, in some places, as high as 8, 10, 12. But let's just go by the average. So you, that the two parents and the four children, essentially will be spending minimum of, say, 600 on pure water, 4 or 5 sachets a day. That's for drinking. You haven't started talking of cooking, washing, and other things like that. But let's just take 100 naira a day per person times 6. You just multiply that 600, you know, times 30 days. And you will see immediately that, you know, the social services have a huge impact, have a very, very, a very huge impact. You could be spending as much as 18,000 a month just on water. So in places where all these things are better understood, you know, what the labor movements do is that they say, okay, this is the minimum wage. But beyond that, the social services like water, like electricity, like gas, if there is winter in those places, like transport, because transport, of course, good public transport offsets the cost of petrol or diesel. And there is electricity. I mean, we've mentioned before on Public Square before that in most developed countries, if you are of school age, 16 years and under, you do not pay to get on public transport. In other words, if you are wearing a uniform, you know, and in many of the countries, even if you are not wearing a uniform, you have a child pass to say you are under 16. So you are not earning an income. The public transport is free. If you are a pensioner, the public transport is free.
Right.
You know, the health service is free.
Right.
If you are a child, and if you are a pensioner and so forth.
Right.
So it's all those things that alleviate the poverty.
All right, Ritmi.
And then your take-home pay
right.
just you know, does other things. So
right, we need
the
to
labor
go on
movement
a break
doesn't quite hasn't quite caught on to those things in Nigeria yet.
Yes, right to me. We're going to go on a break, and we get back, we get into the core of the matter. Don't forget, you can engage with us on social media, Nigeria Info FM, Public Square NJ, at Ritmi Sankur, at our Obo, WhatsApp 08095975805. It's our Labor Day special. Stay with us.
This is an infomercial.
All right. I see we have some special announcement here.
Yes,
Jasmine,
we
in here. Good. What do you have for us, Jasmine?
Yes, I have some very good information, and actually very, very important information. This one is from UNICEF. Well, we know that the restrictions have been, you know, cancelled, and everyone is just slowly getting back to doing what they love to do best. Why? Because people have been getting vaccinated. Now, for this to continue and for us to continue our daily lives and do what we love to do best, you and I need to get vaccinated if you've not gotten vaccinated, because vaccines save lives. Even though you've had COVID-19 in the past, it does not mean that you are immune to COVID. So please get vaccinated. To register for vaccination against COVID-19, log on to mphcda.vaccination.gov.ng. That is mphcda.vaccination.gov.ng.
All right. And after they're done with that wahala, they still have something to worry about, which is the NIN. It causes a lot of problem everywhere.
Mm-hmm, that is the NIN. So, you know, we've been talking about NIN, and everybody has been like, oh my God, my line has been blocked. I can't send messages. My line has been barred. What's going on? It's probably my network. Well, it's not your network, especially Airtel users, because Airtel is telling you guys that if you do not link your NIN to your Airtel line, your line will definitely be blocked. But Airtel is making it very easy for you that you don't have to stand in those very long queues or wait for hours and hours. All you have to do is first generate your NIN on your phone. All you need to do is dial 346 hash to get your NIN, and then dial *121 hash to link your NIN to your Airtel line. But if you feel like, you know what, I'd rather just go to an Airtel center, there are Airtel centers around Lagos and across Nigeria.
All right, and Jasmine will be back for some more after, but we go on a quick break, and then when we come back, Public Square, we'll have a lot to talk to you about. 99.3 Nigeria Info, let's talk. Well, welcome back, 99.3 Nigeria Info. It's 13 minutes to 5, and I'm sure a lot of you making your way home after a busy week, but you are short of a holiday that will expire Wednesday next week. So just fasten the seatbelts to drive safe and listen to 99.3 Nigeria Info. Talk to us on social media at Nigeria Info FM at Public Square. Talk to us on WhatsApp 08095975805. So, Rotimi.
Yeah.
Great. And so we can continue from where we stopped and begin to delve into unpack some of the talking points for today's discussion. And one thing, Rotimi, which has been on everyone's lips, even Ayo, whose discussion with Gideon Joe dwelt to a large extent on this, is the cost of forms, expression of interest forms and nomination forms for presidential hopefuls. And is a question that people have been asking, how on earth are people supposed to raise that money if you think you want to be president, governor, member of assembly at state or federal level? Why do parties even charge for forms?
Yeah, well, I mean, I was listening to Gideon Joe with interest, you know, repeating the talking points of the political parties.
Yeah.
Some say they need to charge such horrendous and impossible fees for forms, because they need to be able to administer the party secretariat.
Mm.
I mean, some said it's because they have a lot of legal cases.
Mm.
Some say it is so that they only have serious candidates.
Mm.
Well, I mean, the matter is far more than that.
Mm.
The core of the matter is that such outrageous forms costs are being charged to exclude certain types of people. Every other thing is just an excuse. Every other thing is just an excuse. Because political parties, I mean, the one important point Jide raised was that political parties are supposed to charge membership fees. Now, the reason most political parties in Nigeria are unable to collect the membership fee is that they are unable to inspire the members to pay the membership fee. People have to believe in your political program to pay a membership fee. They have to believe in your ideology and your policy that it will deliver improved living standard for them. You can't go to people and say pay membership fee if the perception of the people is that you are in it for yourself and that when you get there, there will be no improvement in life, no improvement in light, education, water, transport, and all the social services and amenities that people should have in any civilized society. Look, let's just break this thing down. So the ruling APC party, they say, Governor Buni, let me quote the person that said it so that it won't be a vague statement. Governor Buni of Yobe, who was the former acting chair,
right.
He said they have 41 million members. Okay, so if that is correct, and it is obviously not correct, but if it is correct, an annual membership fee of, say, 1,000 Naira per member, and don't forget, 1,000 Naira a year per member would be about 83 Naira a month. If they have 41 million members, that will raise 41 billion. That will raise 41 billion. So, you know, the fact that they are unable to inspire people to pay 83 Naira a month, the so-called 41 million members, that is why the presidential, the club of presidential candidates has to be pruned down to people that, you know, in effect represents the interest of the party. The same thing with the PDP. I mean, in their own case, I mean, I don't even know who approved that kind of statement for them. They claimed that the drive, that their online registration drive, was aimed at recruiting 100 million members.
Right.
I mean, that's all the people registered to vote and more. One party claiming that their drive is to get 100 million members. I mean, obviously not impossible. I mean, obviously not possible. But if let us assume that that was possible, 100 million members at 83 Naira a month, 1,000 or so, I mean, would earn them, you know, fantabulous amounts of money, you know, 100 billion or more. And therefore, if they were able to inspire members to pay registration fees, they would not need to charge that amount of money that excludes ordinary people.
All right, Rotimi, sorry to interrupt, but we have Yakub Danger, sorry, joining in, but looks like we lost connection with him again, but we're trying to start.
Let's continue with our discussion. We can always get NLC another time.
All right. Well, he joined in, and then so we'll get him again, and then we'll continue. Go ahead, please.
Yeah. So the point I was making is that, you know, if any party, in this case PDP, claiming that their registration drive is aimed at 100 million members, 83 naira a month thereabouts would get them 100 billion naira a year, which would be more than sufficient to run the party. But the fact that these parties are unable to inspire ordinary people to pay membership fee of 83 naira a month, that is why they claim that they need to get this money from the big wigs to be able to run the party. But if the big wigs are the ones that are running the party, then the party policy and ideology will be in the interest of the big wigs. So the reasons being given for charging such outrageous sums, you know, it just doesn't add up. Because if that was the reason, then you put policy and program in place that can inspire your so-called 41 million members or the 100 million you are aspiring to recruit to make the contribution.
All right. So let's look at that. And then so there's something also too, Ruth, we have to take a look at. We now know that for the record, we need to establish how much a minimum wage worker or middle class professional should have to earn to be able to afford such forms. But let's get this confirmation here. Looks like we have Yakub Danger joining. Hello, Mr. Danger.
Yes, Danger Yakub.
Brilliant. We've been trying to get you forever. Danger Yakub is the assistant.
Not Yakubo.
Yes, Yakub. Yes, Danger Yakub.
Y-A-Q-U-B.
Exactly. And I'm sure people would remember that Danger Yakub has been around for a while as a assistant general secretary.
Hello?
Can you hear me clearly now?
I'm hearing you clearly now.
Great. Assistant General Secretary, Nigeria Labour Congress. Thank you very much for joining us. Assistant Secretary, Nigeria Labour Congress.
Yes.
Thank you very much for joining us on Nigeria Info. Excellent. So,
pleasure.
Good. I know we're fast spent, but we would love to hear from you where we are with the country's discussion on the minimum wage. What is the status of the minimum wage across the country? How many states have implemented? How many states haven't? And what are the reasons they've given for non-implementation of the minimum wage?
Those states, that I think about three or four, many have implemented. Some have not implemented fully. And as you know, their reasons will be that they don't have money. But they have money to buy cars for themselves. I mean, you see a governor going, convoy, and you see about 20 SUVs following him, and all of them brand new. So, and many of those of past governors who claimed they couldn't pay worker salary, some of them have faced the FCC as been taken to court for stealing money. So, there is no governor in Nigeria or no state government in Nigeria that cannot afford to pay minimum wage. So we have about three or four that are not paid. I have mentioned them to you. Some of them are also for elections.
Right.
Like I have below for it.
Right.
It's going pensioners, it's going workers, but you can afford to pick a form for 100 million. So their reasons for not being able to pay is not tenable, and we have rejected it, and we're going to take actions on them.
All right. Another question a lot of people have talked about, especially labor experts, is don't you think because of the rising levels of inflation, 30,000 naira doesn't make any impact in the pockets of the workers, and it's better to tie the minimum wage to the inflation like it's done in many developed countries?
Yeah, you're very correct. Whoever thinks that way, I mean, any normal Nigerian will think that way, because at the time the new Minimum Wage Act was being negotiated, we were not at this level. Apart from the inflation, we also have, we had crisis with petrol, which increased transport, the cost of transportation workers to work. And so a lot of things have gone up. I mean, and that's what happened to an economy that is import-driven. We are actually not producing anything by importing fuel. We are importing this. So if you deal with importation, you have to also deal with whatever rate, what exchange rate the dollar is. Because you can't buy something for $1 and then come and sell it for 1 naira in Nigeria. Because what we have been confronting government is that they need to deal with local production of whatever we are not producing, including petroleum products, because these things have really affected the spending capacity of all Nigeria, and including especially workers. Workers who have no access to stealing funds like government officials do. So that is the point. I agree with that, and we will have to deal with that situation.
And I know you have a packed out schedule, but I'm thinking, before I let you go,
that I was in the meeting.
All right, great.
I forgot that I have this.
I know, it's meeting after meeting, you know. But, you know, the NLC issued a notice of a three-day warning strike over the government's failure.
Yeah.
Not to respect ASUU agreements is done with ASUU and other university unions. Could you elaborate more on this?
There's nothing to elaborate on. I mean, this is not even a new agreement. All the strikes ASUU has embarked on were based on the same agreement of 2009. If they wanted it negotiated, do that. And they did, and it is signed, it's already signed. Implementation becomes a problem. So, we need first ASUU, Academic Staff Union of University, all the education sector unions are all affiliated to the NLC. So we have to support them in this action to accelerate the resolution of the action, because we have given options to the government. You know, call these people to, if you have anything against the agreement, call them to a meeting and honestly deal with the issues rather than pretending as if telling Nigerians that ASUU is the problem. ASUU is not the problem. Government is the problem. Which also cast doubts on some of the people managing this government, including the Minister of Education and the Minister of Labour.
So when this strike happens, I know the goal is to force the hand of government to make sure that it does what he says it will do in the agreement.
I won't use the word force. I will use the word compel. To compel the government to respect the agreement, the willingly signed with ASUU, and if there are issues they have against the agreement, they should discuss those issues with ASUU.
All right.
That's what happens with any employer on issues of industrial relations. One party will not just sit down and be watching. This strike is almost 90 days.
All right. You know? Right, and so we'll keep
and up. And any government who doesn't take, especially academic, the education sector serious, do not want that country to develop. Because that is the factory of human resources.
Right.
Whatever you need to develop the country, all of us went through school.
Right.
And we are going to retire. So who is going to replace us?
Right. So very quickly, Denja Yakub, this one is about the cost of funds for at least the two major parties, 45 million, 100 million naira. Well, what's the NLC stand on this one?
We have dealt with that. Well, it's actually irresponsible of any party, particularly a ruling party, who claims to be fighting corruption, to be asking people, actually directing people to steal money to come and contest. Because, I mean, first, apart from the Marwa thing, the NGLA saying they will test them for drug, EFCC still functions. It's supposed to actually find out where those people got the 100 million. It's scandalous. That is number one. Number two is that it's limiting the space, the democratic space. So those who are competent can't contest because they don't have the money. Okay? So what they have done is they are selling off the country. They are selling off government positions. That's what it means. And so those who, criminals will buy the phone, criminals will go around campaign, criminals will rig the election, and they come and rule us.
All right. We're going to have to leave it at that. But thank you very much. And most resourceful to us, Denja Yakub, Assistant Secretary, Nigeria Labour Congress. And I'm sure when the events happen on Sunday, we'll get some more sound bites from the leadership of the NLC. But thank you very much. And a happy Workers' Day.
You're welcome.
All right, there you've had Denja Yakub, the Assistant Secretary, Nigeria Labour Congress. And it's quite interesting quote. So we'll go on a break, and we come back from that break, and we'll get reactions to that, as well as continue 360 on the cost of expression of interest and nomination forms. What does it mean for us as we march towards the 2023 general elections? Rotimi Sankore and I will be right back. Please stay with us on 99.3 Nigeria Info. The Lagos State Government has clarified that Monday the 2nd of May and Tuesday 3rd of May have been approved for the 2022 International Workers' Day in Eid al-Fitri. Repair works have started on a Akpongbong section of the Eko Bridge that was damaged by fire last month. Traders at Ebutero, ECOWAS and Kushoshi markets in Akpongbong appealing to Lagos State Government not to relocate their shops. Still in Lagos, we understand that residents of flood-prone areas have started relocating as the rains begin. Governor Babajide Sanwo-Olu of Lagos has told the Minister of Transportation and APC presidential hopeful Rotimi Amaechi that Lagos will only support the party's leader, Bola Tinubu, for the APC's ticket. Meanwhile, Rotimi Amaechi says his decision to run for the presidency of Nigeria is born out of the need to serve and provide selfless leadership to Nigerians. Ahead of the 2023 general elections, the People's Democratic Party has commenced the screening of 17 presidential aspirants at the Legacy House in Abuja. A journalist for Radio Liberty in Ukraine, Vera Grinch, has been killed during Russian shelling of Kiev. And 23 players have been selected for Saturday's FIFA Under 17 Women's World Cup clash between Nigeria and Egypt at the Petro Sports Stadium in Cairo. It's headline news at 99.3 Nigeria Info. We'll go back to the public square, but not before we listen to... welcome back. 99.3 Nigeria Info. It's 5 minutes past five, and conversation still continuing. In case you just joined in, you've missed quite a lot, but there's still engagement to happen. People saying, you guys don't let us talk, but we're going to let you talk well today. Please bear with us and the bills we have to pay. Someone says unnecessary stoppages, but the stoppages do pay the bills also too. So you have to understand. But we're going to open the phone lines very early for you to join in the conversation which we're having, which is the apparent exclusion of ordinary workers and middle-class professionals from contesting in party primaries and, by extension, the general elections. The canvas in which we're having this conversation is International Workers' Day, which happens on the 1st of May every year. This year's version happens on Saturday. I'm sure you heard the Assistant Secretary of the Nigeria Labour Congress, Danger Yakub, respond to a number of questions ranging from the minimum wage to what the Labour Congress thinks about the 100 million naira expression of interest form for the ruling party and nomination form, and the 45 million naira for the main opposition party, PDP. So, Rotimi, we're back to the grind.
Yes.
Right. And
So before we managed to get Danger,
yeah, he was more concerned
very insistent that you get
the Yakub
his name right.
Interestingly,
Yakub,
was I got
not,
Yakub,
not Yakubu.
Yeah, of course. It's interesting. I've never actually said Yakubu, but maybe he had Yakubu. I thought he would be more concerned about people thinking his name was Danger.
Yes. And he missed, I think his title is Assistant National Secretary.
Yes, exactly. They have
Not Assistant Secretary.
Yes, they have one General Secretary and then Assistant National Secretary. Very true.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, so we are trying to establish the relevance of explaining the cost of these forms in relation to what ordinary people earn. And I've had some people say it's not necessary to link it to what ordinary people earn because ordinary people, in their opinion, should not be contesting an election. Or that some people claim, these characters running for the elections and not bringing the money out of their pocket that people are going to contribute it to them, all these shadowy groups that we hear. Youth professionals are going to give one candidate the 100 million. The network of supporters are going to give the other candidate the 50 million. I mean, these are groups that nobody knows who they are. Look, in proper inclusive democracies where everything is well documented.
Mm.
If you are an ordinary person, you are an ordinary worker, or an ordinary middle-class professional, and you say you want to contest so-so position, an X amount is needed. If some people come out and say they are going to make contribution for you, the list of those people is publicly known. In fact, it is on your campaign website. Nobody has to look for it. Nobody has to look for it. Why? Because you have to submit those names to the equivalent of the INEC in your country anyway. So, I mean, that is how it is done. So, it is here. So, I mean, let's take, for example, now, the most outrageous cost, which is in the APC, 100 million. If you are on 30,000 minimum wage, and that is, you are earning that 30,000 from the day you were born, the day you came out of your mother's womb,
right,
you are earning 30,000 a month, you will still need to be working as a baby, from baby on, for 278 years to earn that money. From your first day on this earth, 278 years, that's how long you will be working. If it's the PDP one, you will be working for 111 years. But let's even look at some of the so-called third parties, the most prominent, which has made their own fees public, say SDP.
Right.
Even for them, as a minimum wage worker, you will be working for 97 years from the day you are born. 97 years. If you are a middle-class professional, and say you are earning about 250,000 a month, roughly 3 million a year, something like that, from the day you were born, you need to be earning that 250,000 a month to get the APC form for 33 years. For the PDP, 13 years. For the SDP, 11 years. That means no uni, no nothing. From the day your mother gave birth to you, bah, you will be earning 250,000 a month. So, I mean, you can see. Now, in more inclusive democracies, there is an administration fee charged, but it is mostly the equivalent of 1 month's salary. That is the importance of the comparison. It is 1 month's salary. I mean, if you are getting a form to run for a big office in most European countries, the amount you pay is equivalent to more or less, you know, roughly 1 month's salary. So that is the importance of the comparison, to demonstrate that Nigeria's democracy is not inclusive. If you have to work for 278 years from the day you were born, but in more inclusive democracy, the equivalent amount paid is your 1 month salary.
Right. So, right. So, Rotimi,
no, sorry, just one more important point to make. I mean, right, the argument that they want serious contenders, people that have base, the way they establish the base in more inclusive democracy is that as you are submitting your form, if it is in Nigeria, we have 774 local governments, 100 party members per local government will sign your form to show you have base. You know, patapata, if you have more than 100, maybe you have 77,000 party members supporting your form to show that you have base. If you want to add more, you know, you put 100,000 party members from all the local government to show that you have base. It has nothing to do with money. And that is why when you see in the more inclusive democracies, you see ordinary people are the representatives in parliament. Workers.
Right.
From so, transport sector, post office, and so forth like that.
Right.
Ordinary middle class people,
all right, doctors,
nurses, engineers.
Great. So now that we've established, interesting, we've got sides to this debate. GDO Joe's argument during ideas, and even Yacoub Denja frowning together with the leadership of Labour on this one, that no minimum wage worker or middle class professional can afford party primary forms, whether it's with the two big parties and then the other newer parties. We took SDP. What do you think is going to be the impact on internal party democracy?
The impact of buying your form for 100 or 50 million on internal party democracy is that you are not accountable to the party. That's it. If 100 members of the party per local government endorse your form and you have 77,400 endorsements for your form, plus the equivalent of your 1 month wages, you are accountable to those people that nominated you, because they are the ones going to campaign for you. Those 100 people in each local government are the ones going to organize another 1,000 or 10,000. You are accountable to them. But if you bring out the 100 million from your pocket, or is it some kind of ghost association, you know, you claim they are the ones that, then you are not accountable to anybody. So that is why there is little or no internal party democracy. And that has a huge impact on Nigeria's democratic process. Because what you see essentially is what you see at the party conventions, where, you know, governors and national officials and all kinds of people just organize the whole delegates, will do everything, allocate positions to each other. We watched it on TV now. People crying, people being brought onto the stage to say, I concede. What was that about? You know, as for the argument that the candidates will be too many, look, if you say that you need 100 people per local government to endorse your form, you will suddenly see that not everybody can inspire 70-something thousand people to endorse their form. Even if you have the money, you can't necessarily inspire them, because they are putting their names down on record that they are the ones that nominated you. So, you know, the internal party democracy is completely crushed. And these are things that we must revisit for Nigeria's democracy to work.
Absolutely. Don't forget, send us messages on Twitter, on all our social media platforms at Nigeria Info FM, at Public Square NG, at Rotimi Sankore, at Agogo Obo. All of these talking points we have concerns every single one of us. So find your way in any of those points and send us those messages. I see all the messages on WhatsApp. We'll come to them very shortly once we are done with this one. And then we'll also open the phone lines for you to have your say. Interestingly, this next talking point wrote to me is to do with the party programs, ideology, policies, and overall democratic representation. A lot to unpack. Well, I often think that the best example I've seen is when politicians carpet cross and then base their argument on things, and especially the governor, I think it was a governor of Cross River State, who was asked the question why he moved from the PDP to the APC, and then he had interesting arguments. One, to say that he could not be at the periphery. My state isn't getting enough money. I have to be close to the center. But the more interesting thing he said, a lot of people picked up, was saying that APC, PDP have no ideologies. They're basically the same thing. And for, he said, to quote him right, for third world or developing democracies, those things don't matter. And it got a lot of people talking off my... Well, for his frankness and not lying about it, which aided his acclimatization into his new party.
it doesn't matter to those people.
Yes.
Because they go where they think they will get tickets. They go where they think they will get resources. I mean, you see them every day from either of these so-called two big political parties that have captured power and then use the resources of power to maintain themselves in power. You hear them saying, oh, we are welcoming 5,000 from the other side tomorrow. Those ones don't have to change their ideas or their mind. They just go over. And they are just welcome like that. So, of course, he's correct. But that means that in terms of ideas, they are bankrupt. They have nothing to offer. They are what they call special purpose vehicle for capturing power for themselves. And what that means essentially is that you have your political parties. I mean, let's not call them the big parties or political parties of that size, because as we have established, their membership claims are dubious. If one party says they have 41 million members and the other party say that their membership drive is to recruit 100 million members, what does that tell you? They want to recruit the whole country, everybody of a voting age, and the other parties we have. I mean, those are dubious aspirations. On the other hand, if you have any ideology, any policy, any program that can inspire people, what will happen essentially is that people, ordinary people, will support the candidate and the party with their resources. Look, we mentioned earlier, 83 naira a month is the equivalent of 1,000 naira a year.
Right.
So, you know, if you're able to inspire people to do that, you know, then that's really, really big for you. But if you are not able to do that, then you are ideology free. I mean, if you don't want to do that, and you are doing big, weak politics, then you are ideology free. You are policy free. You are program free. Which essentially means you have nothing to offer. And if you have nothing to offer, it means we're going to get more of the same. Look, if you look at every social service, every development indicator in Nigeria, it gets worse every year. None of them improves. Because relative to population growth, it will always get worse unless you are ahead of the curve. And to be ahead of the curve, you have to have a clear program.
And indeed, which is the essence of what we're doing here at RTB. Before we go on that next break and then have the square open to everyone to have their say, we can throw a hoop into what the future development of the country is with all of the points we've unraveled here and see whether we can make some corrections or if we continue this trajectory.
If you have, you know, parties contending for office without any clear program, clear ideology, clear policy, then the country is finished. It's just a question of time. I mean, I was listening to Garba Shehu the other day, you know, the presidential spokesperson, saying that the purveyors of doom have been claiming Nigeria will collapse like forever, and it hasn't happened. The gentleman is not in the same country with us. He can't measure the issues that lead to collapse of country. Now we are talking of getting combat helicopter to escort train between Abuja and Kaduna. Is that not a sign of collapse? Combat helicopter to escort a civilian train between two cities. Is that not a sign that things are getting really wrong? The chief of defense has told us the army is operational in 33 states in policing role. Is that not a sign that things are going wrong? Four states have collapsed in Nigeria. Borno, Yobe, Zamfara, and Katsina. They are being propped up by police and military. Is that not a sign that things are getting wrong? Kaduna is on the verge of going. Niger, is that not a sign that things are going wrong? So if we don't bridge all these deficits, I mean, let me give a clear example. There are 60 million adults in this country that can't read or write. That data is from the Ministry of Education. If you want to fix that problem, going by the UNESCO class of standard of 20 or 25 people per class, you need about 2 million classrooms proportional to the state where that problem is to teach them to read or write. Which party is offering that program? 2 million classrooms for adult literacy. Which party? There are 30 million children out of school about to join the 60 million that are unable to, 60 million adults unable to read or write. And people don't understand that every time a wave of children go to adulthood, so that 30 million children, those 30 million children that can't read or write, they are between the ages of 6 years and 16 years old.
Right.
If 2 million of them become 18 to 21, another 2 million become 18 to 21, year on year on year, and those 30 million are now between the ages of, say, 17 and 27, and they can't read or write. That is more, another extra 13 million from the extremists and bandits to draw from.
All right, Rotimi, we have a lot to ponder. And so on
and so forth like that. So unless those things are fixed, it is only going to get worse.
All right, lots for us to ponder on, and we'll go on a quick break, and we come back, we open the phone lines, and let's hear what the people have to say. It's 24 minutes to the top of the hour, 6 o'clock. I'm Aroro Obu, and together with Rotimi Sankore, we've had an intense show so far. Having established that if you're a minimum wage earner or a middle income earner, the chances that you can pick up a form is next to zero for to become Nigeria's number one citizen as we count down to the 2023 general elections. And the background of this is the International Workers' Day, which Nigeria will join the rest of the world in marking on Sunday. So where lies our so-called dividends of democracy? Maybe you have the answer for us. The number to call, 0700-993-993-993. Again, 0700-993-993-993. And then if you're a woman, you have an extra opportunity to call this line and get head easily, 01465-7190. And the rest of the crew on WhatsApp, 0809-597-5805. We'll come to you shortly. So,
if I may just add, before we start taking the calls, there is something to take into consideration, which is that the next set of political office holders over the next 8 years, in that period, roughly 70 million more Nigerians will be born. You know, things don't stay stagnant. You know, the demographics are really crucial. You know, roughly 70 million more Nigerians will be born in the next 8 years. In addition to the 206 million we have now.
Right. So we're...
So the deficits on education, electricity, water, housing, transport, everything will get worse.
Right. All right. So
for people who can't measure in global terms, 70 million more over the next 8 years is roughly double the population of Canada. You know, so all these things are crucial to take into context. And I say, if you can't get through on the phone, please feel free to utilize tools like Twitter. You can tweet at me at Rotimi Sankore. I will try and incorporate your questions, you know, into the responses that Aroro is getting by phone.
Right.
You know, so that people don't jam the lines and you can't get through. You know, and you feel you've been excluded from the program. So do the WhatsApp, Twitter, and phone, and we'll try and take everything.
All right, so we've got limited time. Just 1 minute, everyone who calls in. Hello and good evening.
Good evening, Aroro.
Great to have you join us. Your name, please, and where you're calling from.
All right, this is Pastor Ladipo, calling from Odulego.
Go ahead, Pastor Ladipo.
I want to ask Rotimi one question. Don't he think that this 100 million of a thing is indirect money laundering? Because some of the people that are even buying these nomination forms, looking at it very clearly, they can't even win a war, talk less of a local government. Don't he think that it's indirectly gathering money for the forthcoming election? Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Pastor Ladipo. Hello.
The answer is that it's impossible.
All right, sorry, Rotimi, say that again, please.
I said the simple answer is that it's not impossible.
All right,
because if somebody can't explain where they got 100 million from, and they can't release the people that gave them the 100 million, it's not impossible that something shady is going on.
Mm. All right. Hello and good evening.
Yeah, Chifobo, good evening.
Great to have you join us.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening, sir.
Yeah, I think the ball is in our court. You can hear when Sarotimi was explaining about the high cost of that ball. Mm. But people are defending that, oh, friends, raised the money for them. Sarotimi, I don't know, is it possible for us to look away from these two parties, go to those ones that don't have that high cost of whatever, and see how we can, because this is, they're just 44 million, like Rocha has claimed, they're 44. GDP, they're trying to get 100 million. So the other millions of us, can we come together and say no to these money bags? Is it possible, Sarotimi?
All right. Thank you very much.
It's possible, but it will happen at the level of community organizing.
All right. Hello and good evening.
Good evening, Rotimi and Arobo.
Great to have you join us. Your name, please, and where you're calling from?
Yeah, this is Emmanuel.
All right. Emmanuel,
I'm
go
calling
ahead.
From Ebe.
Please go ahead.
It's unfortunate where we found ourselves. I don't know where we started, you know, because I'm a young man of around 30. I was told that in the early days of Nigeria, people do contribute money for their party. You know, but there is this one official question that is always asked, because I've been in the political arena for some time. They will ask you, what is your worth? What is your worth chest? Can you prosecute this election? And that question is very, very important for the leaders. Some people say this 100 million naira is for the party to run the election. It's a big lie. If you put the money the candidates will spend at the end of the day, side by side with the 100 million. The 100 million is a child's play. Thank you and good evening. Something needs to be done, though.
Thank you. All right. Thank you very much. Hello, good evening.
Well, people shouldn't forget that the campaign for presidential election is 5 billion.
Right. There's still a long way to go. Right.
5 billion.
Right. 5 billion. Hello and good evening.
Good evening. My name is Ahmed from Ikeja.
All right, Ahmed from Ikeja, please go ahead.
Yeah, please, I will go. I want to ask Mr. Rotimi. So, is it factory workers, company workers, they are not among of the workers? Because Mr. Rotimi mentioned something that 8 hours, 1 hour break. And then I see a lot of companies, Chinese companies, India companies, we are doing 7 to 7 without no break. Even though I thought they want to give you a break, 30 minutes break, there's many workers like that. There's no union, there's nothing. People are suffering. So I want to know what is going on. What is the problem?
You can write us. If you are working 8 hours, no break, it is an illegal operation. You can rest assured of that.
Absolutely.
It's just a question of whether the authorities are willing and able to prosecute if it is reported to them. There is no circumstances under which you should be working for 8 hours or more, no break. Talk less of 7 to 7.
Hello and good evening.
And if you are working more, you should be paid overtime.
Exactly.
And you should be willing.
Yes. You can make reports to the labor unions and they can picket those places. Hello and good evening. Hello, good evening.
Yeah, good evening. My name is Soma.
All right, Soma, please go ahead.
I would like to quickly ask Mr. Rotimi a question. You know, with the events of the past few weeks, I've come to realize that the most important people in this whole equation are these delegates, because they are literally responsible, you know, for voting in or presenting whoever is going to be president. So my question to Mr. Rotimi is, who are these delegates? How are they appointed or elected? And is the process the same across parties? Who exactly are they, and how do they become delegates?
All right. I'm sure you had the beep. We lost connection with Rotimi there. But interestingly, that's a big question which has been asked. I think it was even asked during our ideas. How the delegates were chosen is from the party level, from the ward all the way up to the different different levels. Unfortunately, we missed out on that part because a lot of people have never really thought about how serious the delegate election is. And Now that the primaries are about to happen, we suddenly have to now ask the question about who the delegates are. We know who some of them are, the ministers and their political appointees, easy for us to remember. But the others are usually chosen far away from our cameras. And the process isn't always scrutinized as it should be. But great question you asked there. I'm going to go on to WhatsApp and see if we can get Ritmi back before we end the show. I get on question on WhatsApp here. Uche from Ikorodu, who says, I don't think anyone still on minimum wage should be contesting as president. He should first solve his problem before solving Nigeria's problem, is what Uche has to say. Okwe Kende from Ijegun says that Jonathan and the cabal are part of a problem. This people paid to organize, this jobless paid organized youth calling him to come back being sponsored by the same camp of Jonathan. What do politicians take us for? We don't have Jonathan on the menu today, but maybe this was an earlier message which was sent. I hear you. The argument of having serious contenders is baseless. In fact, if the whole Nigerian adult say they want to contest, the primary elections at party level will weed unserious ones out. Using money as a criteria is a bad one. Robbers and kidnappers will bring out the money. I hear you, sir. Thank you very much for your comment. Let's see if we can get in some more comments before we go back to the phone lines. Let's see. I don't have you here, but this one says that as long as Nigeria keeps voting some emperors from state to federal, senators and House of Reps, nothing will change. We need persons who are accountable to the people, selfless visionaries, intellectual, brilliant minds, leaders who are willing to sacrifice. Dayo from Fagba, who has a candidate. Someone has got himself laughing here. He says, I concede all that has made my weekend. Rotimi no go kill person. Hello and good evening. All right, sorry about that. Do call back. Hello and good evening. Great to have you join us. Your name, please, and where you're calling from. Alex, great to have you. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Please, I wanted to ask what is his take on this Boko Haram guy that overpowered the so-called army man? I think it's just tracking my head. So I don't know.
Right. Really disturbing, you know, even though it's not part of our discussion. But, we've had a lot of reports about things going on in the military circles where there have been breaches. I guess this is just the first sign. And thankfully, he was caught. And with the information he had before he took his life, we hope we can mine those information and get some leeway into a lot of intelligence breaches that happens, whether it's Boko Haram or ISWAP. Hello and good evening.
Hello.
Great to have you join us. Your name, please, and where you're calling from.
Yeah, I'm calling maybe from Congo.
All right, you're quite faint. Maybe you're far from the mouthpiece.
AB from Congo.
All right, AB, please go ahead.
Yeah, I think I want to say that you see, the problem is not even for the young to be blamed. I want to blame an INEC. Imagine where an INEC placed 5 billion for presidential campaign. It's on the high side. All they would have done is to say, look, you can't spend less than. And in fact, you can't spend less than 500 or 200 million. Then let us see where this money bags will now begin to throw money away. Then you'll be arrested. But the IRS did not do that. They said they are going to spend 5 billion. Then if a man can spend 5 billion on campaign, then what is 200 million, 100 million that they cannot bring us? It's not like you are spending 10 naira. So I think the fault is on INEC. INEC should do the needful to reverse that trend, because it's not helping the youth. That is my submission. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. And thank you. All right. Interesting conversation. Just to imagine how much it was the expression of interest form and nomination forms for the APC in 2016. From 16 million, it's moved all the way to 100 million. Ruth, are you back?
Yes,
Yes, sir. Thank you.
So we can sign off just at the nick of time. And thank you very much, everyone who sent in the messages. I think I can take additional Otoyibo's message before we go. It says, Nigeria is actually sliding 100 million for presidential ticket and they're out in the troops to obtain it. The real intention is obvious. Good people don't rule, they lead, and they don't take leadership with desperation because it's purely service. When you see people displaying irrational and zany desperation towards occupying positions or ecstatically jubilant having been elected to positions, know that their intent is not to rule. Rather, their intent is to rule and not to lead. Thank you very much, Adesina Otoyibo.
Some important corrections or clarifications to make, and that's why I said to people, if you can't get through on the phone, please, you know, tweet at Rotimi Sankore. I will try and answer as much as I can.
Right.
So the gentleman that called last made an important point that these high sums exclude young people. And that is actually one of the most important problems with those high sums. But he also made an error. The 5 billion campaign expenditure ceiling is not fixed by INEC.
Yeah, not fixed by
INEC. It was the National Assembly.
Very true.
And the National Assembly includes the representatives of these parties. So, and that is why it is not only the presidency that is important. People should also understand that it is really crucial to run for House of Reps, Senate, House of Assembly, and so forth. If you look at the constitutional amendments that are now going to go through the states, including the ones for local government autonomy, they have to be endorsed by two-thirds of the 36 states. So if 24 states don't do it, that's a problem. But if we don't have the right representation at the 24 states, then the local governments will never become autonomous. So we have to look at every office. It's not just presidency. Someone said minimum wage earner has no problem, has no issue. No, I shouldn't be running for president.
Right.
Well, the person can run for House of Assembly.
All right, Ruth, we have to go now. We have to run.
Okay.
We have to run. How time flies when you're having a great conversation.
Yes, yes. Any more questions, please, at Ahobo, at Rotimi Sankore on Twitter, we'll try and answer.
Excellent. And thank you very much, everyone, for joining the square. You can always, like Rotimi says, get into the square on social media. We'll be back again next week to talk about something very important and what affects every single one of us. Do have a lovely weekend as well as a lovely holiday. Up next is the news at the top of the hour, and then we have Sammy and Ifeanyi coming to take us through Nostalgia Avenue on Music and Moments. Please stay with us.